Well, Father, I truly do thank you for tonight. I thank you for your people came out to sit at your table. I thank you for every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that's being poured out upon your people. Father God, for every piece of joy that Satan has stolen from your people, I want it back 100-fold right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, you said this is the time we're going to be blessed and not cursed. I thank you, Father God, that the Holy Angelic Host is walking to and fro throughout this sanctuary tonight. That they are touching the people and meeting their needs. And Father, the joy of the Lord is our strength. No matter how we get it, Father God, we thank you for it. Open the heavens tonight, Father. Receive your children as they reach up to you. Touch them in a way they've never been touched before. Change and rearrange. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, the devil is a liar. He has no place in my life. He can't touch any gift that God has given me. There you go. And that's the truth. Aren't you tired of him stealing? I read something today that David Wilkerson prophesied. He said that this revival that's coming now is going to be a revival of righteousness. So, this is what God's been doing with us. He's been teaching us how to be righteous. And on the screen, whenever you see snowflakes and stars, under that you could read holiness and light. But God called it snowflakes and stars. God is so awesome. What he wanted us to do really is dig into the word and find out really about what his snowflakes and stars are all about and how they relate to his people. Tonight I'm going to teach on following the star. Matthew 5, 14 and 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did you all read the word that God gave me for today? Wasn't that awesome? About a party, wasn't it? Party of all parties or something. I was reading this, and you know, when he talked about it, it's like, you know, another thing, I'm going to bring it tomorrow night and we'll read it. David Wilkerson prophesied, and that was that this revival was going to be a revival of total joy, singing and dancing. So we are right where God wants us to be. Now let's just keep rejoicing. Let's just keep singing and dancing. And let's just receive all that God has for us. I'm hearing God say the hour is late and many are still lost and dying. But my chosen ones who have given all to me are going to be blessed beyond measure. Sister Nancy was sharing with me tonight that around June, I think she said, I prophesied over the baby in the womb. And then the other night I prophesied over the baby because it's born. And she said both prophetic words are just about identical. Word for word. She said no human being could do that. And that, you know, I'm just saying this to encourage you all. And that's just like that when I go up to the church in Maryland. The pastor's wife, remember, didn't believe in prophecy. And every year for 3 years, I would call them out and prophesy over them. Well, God would call them out. And so the third time I did it, she says, I finally believe in prophecy. Because this woman has prophesied the very same identical words 3 years in a row, and each one a year apart. And so, you know, as I was sitting there and I was praising her, and I got to thinking, how many of you really go back and look at your prophetic words? And how many times has God told you the very same identical thing? sometimes when God speaks to me, I said, God, you already told me that. He said, right. You know? And, you know, it's the very same identical thing, but he's saying it again and again and again. And it is going to come to pass. So, you know, you guys that keep coming up, your world hasn't come to pass. It's going to come to pass. And he keeps saying, believe me, I don't have a little computer in my head. None of us have a little computer in our heads that remember all this stuff and spit it out. It's what God has to say. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, I'm saying that to you guys in here tonight. If you're dead, you know, you just don't feel like you're totally and completely arise. If you don't feel like you're completely alive, rise up in your most holy faith, and God will give you the light that you need. He'll bring you where you have to go. A story is told about a man who was a shoemaker who had a longing desire to be a missionary. Everyone who came into his shoe shop heard about Jesus Christ. One day his friend took him aside and said, all this talk about Jesus is ruining your business. I liked his response. The man responded, My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only cobble shoes to meet expenses. Isn't that neat? Whether you cobble shoes, work at Kentucky Fried Chicken, or become the next president of the United States, you don't have to do great things to shine bright as a star. You know, any little thing that you do for God makes you shine. All you need to do is just keep doing the little things like our shoemaker did with great conviction. All you need to do is just keep doing the little things with great conviction. Great wisdom, great beauty, and great love. This is what our scripture refers to as putting your light on a stand to let it shine for all to see so they will praise and glorify God. It's time for us to come out from underneath our baskets and shine. Get out of your little dumb things you're in and just let your light shine. Let all the world see the love of Christ coming from you. We are called to be the light of the world. Just as a lighthouse uses its glowing beam to guide ships towards safety and away from danger, so are we to use the light of Christ to guide the lost to the safety of God and away from sin's dangers. You know, when sinners get around us, the light of Christ should be so strong in us that it will convict them. And they'll talk to you about God. They'll want what you have. But too many times that's not the thing, is it? Too many things when people get around people of God, and when the world gets around the people or children of God, they don't get nothing. They aren't convicted of anything. So what God's trying to get us to do, guys, in this revival is to let our light shine. He's trying to get us to be a bright, shining light that the enemy can't snuff out, no matter how hard he tries. All right? We are all called to be the light of the world. Just as a lighthouse uses its glowing beam to guide ships towards safety and away from danger, so are we to use the light of Christ to guide the lost to the safety of God and away from sin's dangers. Can you all read that? I sent this to them, but it didn't come through, and they had to scan it. Can you read it? You may be asking, why so much emphasis on light? Light has always held significant spiritual imagery throughout Scripture. For instance, light was the first thing God created. Some of the first words recorded in the Bible are in Genesis 1:3, let there be light. That's awesome, really, when you think about it. That was the very first thing he created. You know? Doesn't it say in Revelation that Jesus shines so bright you don't even need a light? You know, so you had God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit there creating, yet he created light. Also, in the Old Testament, light is often used as a symbol of goodness, uprightness, or blessings. It is linked closely with Yahweh and with goodness and serves as a symbol of God's blessing. In the New Testament, light is used to point towards Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, light is used to point towards Jesus Christ. Jesus is referred to as the light of the world in John 8:12 and 9:5. The Bible also tells us that anyone who follows after Jesus will not walk in darkness. Anyone who follows after Jesus will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's John 8:12. One of the final messages given by Jesus referred to the light. Jesus said in John 12:35, "The light is with you for a little longer." See, he called himself the light. "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Jesus himself called himself the light. As long as you was with Jesus, and you know, you became the light. And when Jesus went away, then we were to be the light. But, the church used to be the light. You know that, don't you? Years ago, the church used to be the light. But through the years, the light has dimmed, and now the church is dark. And God's trying to get the light back into the church. I would like for us to be known as the people who, when they walk by you, go out in the spirit. Or when they speak, the anointing coming from their mouth makes me fall out in the spirit. Or when you walk by me, you know, my sickness leaves me. Are you understanding this? Does that happen to us, though? There came into the body of Christ about 15 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, a darkness that has not yet lifted. Isn't that right? And when that darkness came into the house of God, the gifts sort of waned. And I asked God, I said, "God, why did this happen?" He said, "Because my people were mocking my Holy Spirit." In other words, the church was taking the Holy Spirit for granted and just thought they could do whatever they wanted to do, and the anointing was always going to be there. But God said, "That's not so." And what God is trying to do now is he's trying to get the darkness out of the church. Even if God has to remove the church and bring in the world, he will get the darkness out of the church. Because he said if the church doesn't want him, he'll bring the world in and he'll clean the world up. You know. I just really think it's awesome. I was folding clothes. They walked down through the living room and somebody had TV on. And I was folding clothes and on there was Gang Bangers. Is that what they're called? Used to be members. And they were on there. And the one guy said, "I've been in and out of jail so many times that this and that and the other." He said, "I'm going to tell you, I'm here to tell you right now, gang banging is no good. It does nothing but destroy your life. You're in and out of jail. You lose everything you have." And then somebody came there and said that these men, I think there was four of them, they were ex-gang bang members. I've got to get this right. And they were really putting their life on the line by getting up there and telling the world on TV, the young kids, that don't do this because it will kill you. And I got to thinking about that. I said, these men, they had to lose everything, had to go to jail, were beat up all the time, stabbed, robbed, everything else, and they robbed, stabbed, killed. They had to go through all that to learn the truth. And as I listened to them, as I was folding clothes, I thought, "God, this is another avenue you're using to bring the young kids or keep them from going into darkness. This is where your testimony, these guys have a testimony. We thought it was big to become a gang bang or members. That was get it together here. And we found out that it wasn't. It was destruction. So, whatever you've been through, God will eventually use to save others. And at the end of the program, the one young man said, "I hope that you heard what we had to say. And I hope you don't go the path that we went." And this is what the body of Christ should be doing. We should be out there giving a testimony of what we used to be and how God cleaned us up. and tell other people you don't want to go there. I'm just trying to save you an awful lot of heartache. Are we all listening to this? God has, I got to thinking about this. God's bringing so many things out there now to clean the kids and even the grown-ups up. So he's leaving no stone unturned. Nobody's going to be able to say when they stand before him, I didn't know. Because didn't he even say he was going to use the media to step on the devil's head? And this is what he was doing today with that program. So I want you guys just to stop and think about where you've been in the darkness and how God brought you out of the darkness into the light and how your testimony could save so many people from the heartache you had to go through. Are you listening? Then, when you understand that, don't be surprised when God all of a sudden has you start giving your testimony. These guys left nothing out. You're not supposed to leave anything out. You're supposed to tell the whole truth of what darkness did for you, to you. So that whenever somebody else says, well, then I'll go their way, they aren't surprised by anything that pops up. You have to tell them how you had to suffer. You know, I was talking about the young man who was, an ex-demon person and how he, had to suffer for 30 days. But then he got out of that. But I have a question on that. Rebecca Brown, her husband, his family was in the Masons, right? Real big, right? And he was really messed up too and all that stuff, right? But then he met Rebecca Brown, got saved, left that tight lifestyle. I'm looking at Chris because he's read the book too. Left that lifestyle, but his family were upset because he left them and they kept hunting him down trying to kill him, right? And so my question is, this man was into the demonic realm too. He left it, but he had to go into hiding quite often. He was sick quite often, and so was Rebecca. They lost all their stuff. But yet here's this guy who was the head demon, whatever he was called. He left the demonic realm, suffered for 30 days, and now he can go and do whatever he wants to, and he has all authority over the demons. These kind of things go through my head. Maybe I shouldn't bring them out over the pulpit. Food for thought, though, right? Did you ever look at it that way? No. Rebecca Brown had a roommate, and her roommate wouldn't let go of some spirits. So Rebecca Brown had to go through sicknesses, had to lose things, had to have demonic things going on in her house. And finally, Rebecca Brown told Elaine, what was her name? You go out in that yard and don't you come back in this house until you let go of every demon that you're holding on to. So she did. She let go of the demons. I don't know why I'm going here, but this is where we're at right now. She let go of the demons, came back into the house, but she was always sickly. And she died very sickly. And I can't remember if they were harassed anymore or not. I can't remember that. So, I don't know how this all works. I just know that we need to give and Rebecca Brown wrote these books telling about these things, wrote a special book about her husband. The things are out there for you to read, to look at, and to take to the Father. And then they weren't afraid to give their testimony. And you must not be afraid to give yours either. We're working for the kingdom of God, are we not? Then we have to do what we have to do to further the kingdom. Well, let's get back to my story here. One of the final messages given by Jesus referred to the light. Jesus says in John 12:35, Well, read that again. John said in John 12:35, the light is with you for a little longer. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Light is also used to characterize the whole life of the Christian. In First John 1:7, we are called to walk in the light as he is in the light. All right, so at the end of the age, the Word of God says that the one that holds back, nothing's going to happen to the one that holds back, right? It's the Holy Spirit, right? But then the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away, correct? And then all stuff is going to fly. Jesus said, as long as light's with you, you know, really enjoy it type thing. Then he also tells us that one day the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away. And then the devil's going to have it full rule and reign in this earth. So what I'm getting at here is please enjoy the Holy Spirit while he's here. Because I don't know if we're going to be here when the Holy Spirit's taken or not. I don't even want to go into that because I haven't looked at that. And God hasn't put that up in here for me to process it. And if you know, just keep it yourself. But, you know, let's enjoy the Holy Spirit and all the wonderful things he does for us while we still have him. Because, you know, you could wake up we could all wake up one morning and all of a sudden, darkness like you've never seen. And you feel all that heavy, ugly junk on you like you've never felt before. And you cry out and there's no Holy Spirit. We know the tribulation is here. So let's enjoy him right now. Let's enjoy Jesus. Let's enjoy the holy angels. And let us enjoy God. And just have a good time. Amen. Philippians 2:14 tells us we are to be children of God. Oh. Gabriel always does little things for me. And I forgot. And I used scrap paper and I used the wrong side. So he's... So it says, love is God is what he put there in the heart. So Philippians 2:14 tells us we are to be children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are to be children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, which we're living in. We aren't supposed to do what the world does. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're supposed to be different. Right? We are also commanded to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light in Romans 13:12, and to walk as children of light in Ephesians 5:8. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So if you're still doing things that are dark, you need to cast them off. You need to get totally rid of them. The whole reason for so much emphasis on light is simply due to the fact that we are continually waging a battle with the forces of darkness. The brighter your light, the more power you have against the darkness. The dimmer your light, the more power darkness has over you. So we have to continually work at making our light bright and keeping it bright. The only way we can win the victory over this darkness is through the light that is received from Jesus Christ. In other words, have a personal, really up-close walk with Jesus Christ. Through both testaments, light not only signifies but testifies to Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Light came into the world not only through the creation of a literal sun, S-U-N, you know, God created the sun, but also through God's Son, Jesus Christ. This is why Christmas is so special, not only to Christians, but to the lost and dying, because with Jesus, light came into the world to bring everyone deliverance and reconciliation from the darkness. I walked in the other night and I said, that manger scene is really dark there. And somebody said, well, the lamp's not on. There we go with the lampshade again. So we turned the light on. It just lit up that whole area. The manger scene should not be sitting in darkness, right? Because Jesus came as the light. This is why I find the Christmas story of the three wise men so fascinating. Here we have another reference to light. A brilliant light in the sky not only announces that that light has come to earth, but it draws the Magi to the light. More radiant than any star these astrologers had ever seen before was the very star that shone over Bethlehem to signal the birth of a king. This brilliant star drew these men to such a degree that they chose to journey far from their homes to worship the newborn king. That's how bright that light was. The star. It was a star. The star they followed for 2 years. They followed that star, that bright star, for 2 years. Is a star that pointed to a lowly manger that held the salvation for all humanity. Now, how many of you would have went out there and followed a star for 2 years because it was bright? Right? The good news is that this story of the shining star does not end with the wise men. The ability for this star to continue shining is now left up to us. We do not understand, the body of Christ does not understand the importance of the job that God has given us. When Jesus left, he says he's living inside of us, so therefore he left his light with us, and we should be lights throughout the world. I'm hearing God say the world is getting darker and more dangerous, and if you don't have your light secure, the enemy's going to snuff it out. How do you have your life secure? You have your light secure by staying close to Jesus. Yes, we are to shine like the light of the Christmas star, never diminishing and never wavering. For 2 years, that little old star shined. Diminish and didn't waver because they said it was bright, and that's why they followed it. No matter what is going on around us, we are to shine as a beacon of light to the world. There isn't one of us sitting in here tonight that can say that during this hard time, these 15 years of hard time, that our light didn't get a little bit dim. It didn't stay bright and brilliant because it was hard, really hard with what Satan was throwing at the body of Christ. And we had to struggle even to stay on our feet. Sometimes we even had to struggle to even get into church just to give the word. And our light grew dim. But because of Jesus ever interceding for us, he talked to us. You know, God spoke to us and told us to get back up and let our light shine. So we got back up, battered and bruised, but we got back up. And we still have that light. That's what's so wonderful. You know, I think about all the times that Satan took me to my knees. Think, God, you were so merciful. You kept that light shining. You did not allow the light to go out. It was God that kept the light shining. You know, without him, we can do nothing. He had to give us strength, did he not, to keep that light shining? When Brother Allen was going through his time, God says he's going to fall. And I call the people and say, God said he's going to fall. So we pray, and he didn't fall. So, you know, that's why we have to do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because, if we stay in one mind and one accord, God will speak to us when one of the brothers or sisters is down. God will speak to us so we can pray. Our lights aren't down, but their lights are. Sometimes you just think your lights about went out, right? Come on. I mean, it was hard. But it's not hard now because Jesus has brought us through the storm. We've crossed over the Jordan. We're in the promised land. And now, we're not even going to pay any attention to the giants. And by that I mean the circumstances that are looming around about us, because God has given us a promise. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And he's going to be with us through this whole entire journey. Even when our nation's leaders fail us, when babies' lives continue to be snuffed out through abortion, when our nation desires perversion over a personal savior, doesn't that make you sick? And when godlessness seems to prevail over godliness, there is only one thing to remember. We must never, ever lose our reflective brightness of the Christmas star. We must, you know, just think about all the people who were killed here in one day. And they think that those 14 that were killed and the 14 that were injured in California was a terrorist. People that were connected with the terrorists. Husband and wife just went there and shot all those people. You know, and I think it was a party for disabled people, if I remember what I read. And you think, how dark and how cruel could you possibly be to go in there and shoot those people? They're already not whole. And you go in there and do that. All dressed in black. It's a perverse world we're living. And it was what I wanted to get at there is, I don't know how many Christians were in there. But and it's near Christmas time. And I really prayed, God, don't let their hearts get hardened. And don't let their lights grow dim over this whole thing. Let them remember who you are and let them hold onto your hand. Every time you read something like that, you really should pray for the people. You really should. Because the enemy has already started a rampage with him. And he wants to complete his job. So don't just say, oh, how terrible. We need to pray that they won't lose heart. For God to send angels to strengthen them. And on the same day, something happened in, what, North Carolina or someplace like that? Ohio or someplace? Some more people were killed. It was just on the news last night. That's why I know. Yeah, so you had all those people killed in one day. You know, the world is getting bad. Those 14 people, well, 28 altogether, but the 14 that died, when they went to that party that night, were not expecting to end up in a morgue. They were expecting to return home. And so each one of us, we have to always remember this type of stuff. You came to church tonight and you expect to go home, but what if somebody, a drunk, runs into your car and kills you? So you're never going to see your loved ones again. This is the type of things that you have to be thinking about nowadays, guys. What if when I step out of my door, I never come back again, I go and meet some maker? You know, what I'm saying is, how's your life? You have to think of that. Well, even when you get out of bed, really, because you don't know what kind of danger's in your home, do you? And all these home evasions, people coming in there and killing people. You really, before you put your feet out off the floor, you ought to make sure you're right with your Savior. Because you just don't know. And I don't want you to walk in gloom, doom, and despair and in fear. But these are things we have to be grown up about. And we have to take knowledge of the fact that it's there. And we don't walk in fear, but we thank God that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. And we just go about our business, being a true child of God, making sure we don't slip, yell and scream at our kids. You know what I'm saying? Cuss it, like Larry said, that man, all he did was, he wouldn't forgive his wife. He had to think about it, and he died and went to hell. You know, we have to think of all this stuff. See, we need to start taking a check of our own lives every day and make sure we're walking really close to God, just in case the enemy slips in there. When Larry had his heart surgery, he wasn't expecting to die and go to hell three times. He wasn't expecting that. He wasn't expecting his heart to give out to begin with. But, and it was only the grace of God that brought him back. Come on. We never know. So get your light shining and keep it shining. Amen. We must sparkle with the hope, love, and peace of Jesus Christ. It is not an option, but a command. So like the Christmas star, we must shine the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, always. How do we become the light for the world to see Jesus Christ? There are five ways to be light to a lost and dying world. L is love your neighbor as yourself. I, imitate Christ. G, get to know others. H, hospitality. And T, tell them about Jesus. L is for loving your neighbor as yourself. I want you to listen to this. Jesus gave us this not as a suggestion, but as a command. Not just a command, but a command that is ranked as the second greatest commandment of all. Next to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, Jesus said in Mark 12:31, that the second commandment is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So my neighbor's a drug addict. Love him as yourself. You see what I'm saying? There are over 16 references in the New Testament that tell us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to work no ill towards them, to please our neighbor, and to speak the truth to our neighbors. I think we don't get a star for that one. One of the greatest stories Jesus ever told concerned loving our neighbor in Luke 10:29-38. The parable of the Good Samaritan sets the example of being a neighbor by rendering love and mercy. So then L stands for love your neighbor as yourself, and I is for imitate Christ. 3 John 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. See that? The Greek word for imitate means to duplicate or to follow. This means that we who claim to follow Christ Jesus must duplicate what Jesus has done and follow his example. The body of Christ fails this. We do not duplicate Jesus Christ. And we have to. And Jesus Christ had common sense, all right? My big thing is that people do not have common sense anymore. Must be the drugs in your genes or something. Amen. You are Christ's representative. You are here on behalf of Jesus to represent what he is all about. That means you may be the only testimony of Jesus that some unsaved person will ever get to see. Wouldn't it be awful if we stood before Jesus all puffed up and I'm getting ready to go in that gate, and God said, I sent John Doe to you, and you didn't show him me, so depart from me, you worker of evil. I don't know you. If they can't see Christ shining through you, they'll never find him. Without Christ, there is no salvation, and without salvation, no eternal life. Ephesians 5:1-2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So I is for imitate Christ. G is for getting to know others. In order to gain friends, one must first show themselves to be friendly. The world needs people to reach out to others in acts of friendship. Nothing has become more disturbing in today's society than the self-centeredness and worship of me, myself, and I. Proverbs 18:24 says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. It said, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. To be a shining light to the unsaved, we must show ourselves friendly and stick closer than a brother or sister. Just like you would put money into a stock market or savings account, we must use the time we have left by investing it in other people. Invest your time by visiting, writing letters, watching their house while they go on vacation, watching Isaiah while I'm trying to pray. Take them with you when you go shopping. Take them with you when you go shopping. So many ways to invest our time in others. All right? H is for hospitality. In Bible times, hospitality was not merely a gracious act, but a necessity. Strangers were to be treated as guests, and the homeowner was expected not only to house them, but also to feed and protect them. Hospitality is known as a love of strangers. We must get back into the ministry of graciously receiving others into our homes, feeding them, housing them, and making them always feel the warmth of welcome. I failed that test today, so, yeah. Sometimes you take people into your homes, and all of a sudden they get all nestled in there and nice and neat, you know, and they're wanting you to be their servant. I'm using my age right now for a few things. I said, that little whippersnapper laying up there in that bed and expecting this, how old am I, 78-year-old woman to do this thing. See, that bothered me a little bit. I brought you into my home. You have a nice comfortable bed, a nice water bed there to sleep in. And you have a private TV and, you have a roof over your head and all you want to eat and heat and air conditioning. And you do this. That bothered me, but maybe I shouldn't be like that. It says we must get back into the ministry graciously, receiving others into our homes, feeding them, housing them, and making them always feel the warmth of welcome. Right now I have a far way to go. How about you? Thank you for agreeing. I know I'm not the only one in this boat. Romans 12:13, and get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner. 1 Peter, I could just see Brother Chris brings home a worker and he says it to his wife, he's here for supper, fix him some supper. She probably say, go fix it yourself. You know. 1 Peter 4:9, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Cheerfully. Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Isaiah 58:7, I want you to share your food with the hungry and to welcome poor wanderers into your homes. No excuses. There you go. It's all scripture. I have a white rug on my floor. Too bad. Roll it up. You know. They're going to get it dirty. Come on. So I quit cooking. So I can say, I don't cook no more. Too bad. Get out a pan and cook them something to eat. You know. I do cook, but I really don't like to anymore. I used to love to cook. All right. T is for telling others of Jesus. Imagine what your life would be like today if someone didn't take the time to tell you about Jesus. Every believer shares their privilege and responsibility of witnessing for Jesus Christ. We are always to be ready to tell the story of how we met and how we accepted Jesus Christ, accepted Christ as our Savior. 1 Peter 3:15. If you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Why did you get born again? But this says, if you're asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Somebody slapped me up alongside the head and told me I was a sinner and need to be saved. Right? Remember, Jesus had to show the disciples how to fish for men. So too will Jesus teach you and show you how you can explain your salvation story to those who ask. Luke 12:8, if we acknowledge God on earth, he will acknowledge us in heaven. So I is for telling others of Jesus. So L, love your neighbor as yourself. I, imitate Christ. G, get to know others. H, hospitality. And T, tell them about Jesus. 5 ways we can be a light to illumine a world that is fumbling in the darkness. Now go and follow this light of the Bethlehem star so closely that its radiance will reflect off of you and shine as a beacon of light so that others can follow it too. If you're going to invite strangers into your home, expect to have a mess. Because people don't have, don't appreciate. I have found that out. And they won't take care of your stuff. Easy come, easy go. I don't have to replace it. So I'll just destroy it. But God says we're supposed to invite strangers into our homes, right? Look in the Bible, that one lady, she, I can't remember her name right now, but she even built an addition onto her home just so that when the prophet came into town, he'd have a room to stay and not have to pay to stay anywhere. Now, I haven't heard of anybody doing that around here, building a little room on and say a prophet might come into town. Or Jesus might send a stranger unawares, and it'd be an angel, and I'm going to make sure I can entertain him properly. Amen. Where's your light? Is it shining or is it under a bushel? Or does it have a dirty lampshade on it that makes it dim? God's really serious about your light, guys. Okay, so here, I'll just make an example about how dim the lights are in the Lighthouse Church. We have the flaggers. if you sit in the front row, your head's going to be wrapped in a flag, or a flagpole is going to hit you in the head. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, if you don't want any of this to happen, don't sit in the front row. Don't lose your salvation over a flag or hitting you with a flag. We don't have 30-foot ceilings, and we don't have about 10 feet of front, whatever. I don't know measurements, but we don't have that. So just enjoy. If you get hit on the head, say, thank you, Jesus. I must have been getting ready to fall asleep, right? Come on. Just enjoy. The flaggers aren't going anywhere, guys. You can learn to sit in the back. David, start setting them in the back. Tell them if they don't want to get hit by a flag. Somebody said, well, they've got wrapped that flag around your head. I said, it's been wrapped around there a couple of times. I don't care. Felt like a blessing to me. You know, I really don't. So that, you know, you're not letting your light shine. You're fussing about a flag or a flagpole hitting you in the head, in the eye, wherever it hits the kids. Somebody hit one, and one of the dancers hit me up alongside the head. I didn't care. Didn't bother me any. So where, you know, your light's too dim if something like that bothers you. Well, I just didn't like the way the pastor said hello to me or didn't say hello to me. Well, where's your light? That shouldn't have bothered you. Well, somebody sat in my seat. Well, big whoop. Who said that was your seat? Where's your light? You know, the petty things that the body of Christ fights over, and they claim to have Jesus Christ inside of them. Amen. No light. No relationship with Jesus. Come on. You know, I think you'd like to be like little kids, like some of my little kids at my house. They always think they have to be, you know, loud and have all the attention, and they can't do anything quietly. They have to be loud about it. And I said, just quiet down. You don't need to act like that. Somebody's got to teach these kids how to behave out in public, right? And the way you do it is at home. And people look at you like, what's your problem? I do have a problem with you when you let your kids carry on. Believe me, like Gabriel said today, well, we get spanked when we do something wrong. Why doesn't somebody else get it? I said, well, they were mine, they'd get it too, you know. If Gabriel talks disrespectful to Larry, I tell him you can't do that. And I make him tell me I have to go apologize. But your others can do anything they want to me, and they're not told not to do it. So, you know, it's double standard there, and you can't have double standards. Where's your light? I'm not losing my salvation over it, but my kids are trying to. Where's your light? God wants to magnify your light tonight. He wants to make your light so bright that nothing, even getting hit on the head with a flagpole, is not going to make your light go out. Come on. Did anybody see stars when that happened? That would be nice, you know. Snowflakes and stars. Stars is a light. Any guy good? Come on. He's trying to get you guys to loosen up and just be good Christians. Jesus laughs. God laughs. The angels laugh. But we said in the child of God, like we just ate a whole bucket of prunes before we got in here. Or dill pickles or whatever it is you eat. Come on. And God wants that to stop. You know, in my house with these three kids, you know when all hell breaks out? About an hour before I have to come to church. And then, like, I'll say, now I got to go preach. But my light's bright. And I go and preach. I'm not going to let that take my light. Because, I mean, tell you, the devil comes in there through those kids and it acts awful. And he probably does it with your wife or your husband or your kids or your next door neighbor, you know. It's always on a church night, is it not? Any other night, everything runs smooth, doesn't it? Then on the church night, you're just so happy getting yourself all dressed and thinking all day about how you're going to sit in the house of God. And then, bloop, here he comes. And you're trying to get your salvation back before you get in the car, right? But we do it, don't we? We get our light shining. So when we go in the house of God, our light will blend in with everybody else's and will be a bright light. For any darkness that walks through the door, that light will dispel that darkness.